It's time for Kennedy for Alabama, a political talk show where we discuss the real issues impacting our sweet home, Alabama. Your calls, comments, and texts are welcome at 251-343-0106.
I love this country as much, if not more, than you do, and don't you ever forget that.
And now, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Good evening to the FM Talk 106.5 listening audience. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and this is Kennedy for Alabama. Thank you guys so much for joining us on our inaugural show. We are really excited about tonight's program, so let's get to it. In studio tonight, we have three fantastic members of our little conversation team. The first is Mrs. Aquilin Kennedy, my lovely wife, who I saw for the very first time on my first day of business school at Duke University, the Fuqua School of Business. Now, when you get to know Aquilin a little bit better, she's going to tell you that it took me 12 years to ask her out. It did not take me 12 years to ask her out. It took her 12 years to figure out that a brother was trying to holler. Okay. The second person with us tonight is Mr. Levy Dallas King III, who is the president and CEO of Coached Up, which is a professional development and keynote speaking firm. He is also our lead sponsor for tonight's programming. And the third person with us tonight in studio is Mr. Phil Bush, who is working the production board and manning the phones. And he's waving to you guys in silence. So, how is everyone doing tonight?
Fantastic.
Doing well. We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for being here. I really, really appreciate it, and we're really excited about the things that we're going to do. So one of the things that we wanted to do in our little show is to start out focusing on something that is positive. So what I'm asking for the people in the room tonight to do is just to start off by telling us something good.
So, well, you know, I am a proud Spelman College graduate, a math major, and something fantastic that's happened is that Spelman received a $2 million grant from the Department of Defense to establish the Center for Excellence for Minority Women in STEM.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. The center is the first of its kind. It's going to serve as a hub for all STEM research and training activities at the college. And just super excited. We're doing some really great things. I'm so proud of my alma mater and all the women there.
And we are proud of them, too. Thank you, Spelman, for producing my wife. Levy, tell me something good.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Robert. Something good this evening. Proud to announce that Mobile has a new chamber. It's the Mobile Area Black Chamber of Commerce here in Mobile.
Oh,
they're
wow.
doing
yes.
really great things, bringing really great resources to the community. Education resources to small business owners and just being another advocate for the community. So I'm very excited about that. We restructured the organization to make it even more efficient and effective for those we serve in the community. So that's something good today. A new organization bringing more commitment, more resources, and more opportunities to the Mobile small business community, Robert.
Well, thank you a lot for that, Levy. And I think the new extension, the Mobile Area Black Chamber of Commerce, is going to be really, really good for our community.
Definitely.
So for the listening audience, this is how our program is going to be structured. We're going to start out reviewing a few news headlines from the last 7 days. We're going to introduce tonight's question, and then we're going to start the conversation with our in-studio guests. So with that, the first headline comes from WKRG News 5. It reads, 9-shot teen arrested in football and shooting. So what do we know? Last Friday, there was a shooting at Ladd People Stadium. The shots were fired on the concourse near the end of the LaFleur versus Williamson High School football game. 9 people were hit. A 17-year-old child was arrested and charged with 9 counts of attempted murder. In response to the shooting, the Mobile County Public School System instituted a new 18-point protocol for sporting events, the most significant being the installation of walk-through metal detectors. The second is the use of metal-detecting wands. The third was the announcement that only clear bags, including purses, will be allowed into venues. And the fourth is that spectators are required to remain on one side of the stadium throughout the entire game. The second headline is related to Hurricane Dorian. It comes from USA Today, and it reads, "No way in or out, Dorian's damage to the Bahamas leaves survivors and rescue teams frustrated." What happened? On Sunday, Hurricane Dorian slammed into the Bahamas. At the time, it was a Category 5 storm with winds around 185 miles per hour. As of earlier today, the death toll was approximately 30. That death toll is expected to rise as search and rescue efforts continue, and the property loss currently is valued at about $7 billion. That's $7 billion with a B.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. It's so
I know, Aquilin, you were talking about seeing some of the footage today.
Yeah, it's just, you know, my prayers, my heart goes out, not just to Bahamas, but just everyone who's been through devastation like this. But at this moment, just looking at, you know, on CNN and other stations, we're talking about just the carnage and bodies and, you know, just praying for all and all the beloved. That we help them and keep them in our prayers.
Definitely. One thing that I think we as Americans can see that beauty comes from tragedy, because
yes.
So many times when these tragic situations happen, especially when it's something to do with Mother Nature, things we can't control. But when we see these things, it's so heartwarming to see Americans coming together to support and just do whatever they can to help that community. So our prayers are definitely up, and we need to all pull together to do whatever we can to contribute to their recovery. So prayers up.
Prayers up.
Prayer and work. That's right. Prayer and work together.
Indeed. Well, that actually brings us to our question of the day. If a person is being responsible, should a catastrophic event destroy his or her future? I'll say that again. If a person is being responsible, should a catastrophic event destroy his or her future? As you were just saying, Levy, whenever we have natural disasters, whether we're talking about hurricanes on the Gulf Coast, tornadoes like what happened in Tuscaloosa, the floods, the earthquakes, or the wildfires that happen out in California, that normally during times of natural disasters, we all pull together, right?
Yes.
And if you see some of those images coming out of the Bahamas and just see the fact that folks are absolutely wiped out, or even if you think about what happened in Puerto Rico last year and the devastation that they are still attempting to get over on the island, for the most part, it does seem like we pulled together.
Yes, we did.
I agree.
We did.
But one of the things that actually strikes me a little bit is that when we leave crises that are natural disasters and we start talking about things like healthcare crisis, that's where things start to get a little shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Aquilin, what I'd like you to do right now before the break is just tell us a little bit about what you did professionally and that transition to entrepreneurship to set up what will ultimately be the conversation that we continue to have.
Yeah, sure. So from Texas, families from Georgia, went to Spelman, as you heard, went to Spelman and studied math. And during school, got very sick. So my family, and I'll tell you about that in a second, but my family was very focused on getting a job that had great insurance. And I did that. I worked at internet companies. I worked at brand management companies, Procter & Gamble in particular. Fantastic experience. But one of the things that I found was I really had a heart for getting back to the community, owning more of my time, and stepping away into an entrepreneurial role. I did that in 2005, started my business in Atlanta, and got sick. And I had my first very uncomfortable experience with what I thought was health insurance.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a very, very challenging time. I got very ill, went to the hospital, and ended up there for about a week. When I left the hospital, I had a $50,000 bill.
$50,000.
A $50,000 bill.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and the insurance company decided that it wasn't covered. They said, there was a pre-existing condition. So,
oh, okay. Pre-existing.
I want to make sure I get this right. So you had health insurance.
Yep.
You were paying your premiums.
That's right.
You got sick, went to the hospital. The insurance company dropped you.
Yes.
Refunded all your premiums, and then just told you, go for what you know.
That's right.
This is absolutely amazing. And so going back to the question that we were talking about before is that if you're being responsible, and it sounds like you're being responsible, that given something happened to you from a health perspective that was catastrophic, it actually had the potential to destroy your entire future.
It absolutely did. It absolutely did. I mean, I was one year, not even a year into my own business. And, you know, $50,000 can put most of us back, I think, a little bit in year one. And it was definitely a challenge.
Yeah, whether you're talking about a health situation or a natural disaster, whether you're talking about the tragedy that happened there at Ladd Stadium, anytime a person's being responsible, we don't want the thing that actually ended up being catastrophic in nature to cause them to end up having their future destroyed. Well, that was actually a very good conversation that we started off with. We're going to go to the break here in just a second, and then we will continue with our in-studio guests. This is Kennedy for Alabama.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Okay, welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. As we went into the break, we were talking to Auckland about being dropped by her healthcare provider. And so now I wanted to pick up the conversation with Aquila and just tell us a little bit about what did you do after that happened to kind of impact and make sure that this didn't happen to other people?
Yeah, it was really it was a turning point in my life for sure. I fought for about 2 years. It took me a solid 2 years to get to someone who understood my plight. I'd gone through the insurance commissioner. I'd gone through any number of people. And I finally got to someone who actually could help me. They actually were able to absolve most of that debt, but I still wasn't done because honestly, I felt abused by the insurance company in the industry. You know,
oh, wow.
When I thought I had insurance, this is one of the things you know, you never know what you have until you need it. And when I needed it, I found out I did not have it. I got really active in speaking out about the health concerns, as well as making sure that, you know, you have the right coverages. And at the time, I was being denied left and right for insurance. I could not get insurance. This was right up until about 2013. I participated in the Congressional Black Caucus. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I ran into one of the original architects or co-architects of the Affordable Care Act, and that's Dr. Oh, wow. Kavita Patel. And luckily, we have her on the line. I was able to reach her because I wanted her to just give us a little sense of, you know, why this was created. Because I think it was created for people like me. Kavita, are you on the line? Sorry, Dr. Patel.
I am.
Okay.
Dr. Patel, welcome to Kennedy for Alabama. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And Aquiline is leaving out a little bit. She and I met each other when we went to high school together.
That's why I call her Kavita.
in the great state of Texas. So,
yes.
Go Saints.
We have a history.
Okay.
Exactly. So so the thing that's so powerful was I was talking about my story, and Kavita, we hadn't seen each other in many years, and she happened to be there, of course, working on the ACA. And she, along with a number of other people, were very moved by what was going on, and they shared with me the predecessor to the Affordable Care Act called PPACA, PPACA. And she gave me that information on how to sign up, which I did. I can't go through the long story about it. But I managed to get my card, my insurance card, in April, and I had my first heart attack in May.
Oh, my gosh.
This was all in my opinion. I'm very spiritual, and it's very much divinely ordered in terms of how things happened. And I would just love to have, you know, a few points of, you know, how did this come about? Because I just believe it all. My journey with this started in about 2006, and 7 years later was when this came to fruition and saved my life. And I'm just so thankful to that whole team that Dr. Patel was on. What caused, you know, how did you get involved with it, Dr. Patel? I know you only have a few minutes, but maybe you can share a little bit with us about that and the reason for it and why it's, you know, still relevant today.
No, thank you, and thanks so much for having me, both of you. And certainly, I'll tell you that it's the whole reason that the Affordable Care Act started is actually something that started decades ago, where we saw more and more Americans who did not have the ability to pay for health insurance, and despite Medicare, you know, other programs, there were still people who were avoiding care until the very last minute simply because they couldn't afford it.
Oh, wow.
And we looked at the numbers and found, we actually did a lot of math and analytics. It wasn't just, a lot of people say it was just politics. Certainly there's an element of politics, but the main driver was the fact that we had had over 50 million people in the United States without health insurance, and that we saw that the lack of health insurance was predictive of dying. So okay. mm-hmm. just to process that, controlling all other things, if you take everybody in a room of 100 and control everything, same race, same age, same gender, same background, but one person has no health insurance and the other person does, that person with no health insurance is more likely to die. But without health insurance is more likely to die. So it took statistics like that and a kind of a moment in time where we had a president that said, well, we should do what we can to change this. And just so people know, my background, I had worked for Ted Kennedy, who was a senator from Massachusetts. We had a great tradition of working across the aisle, Republicans alike, actually. So we worked with a number of Republicans on health insurance reforms. At the end of the day, the Affordable Care Act passed by mostly a partisan vote, but mm-hmm. the things that are in there were not partisan. They were mm-hmm. things that we worked with people, Democrats, Republicans, and maybe more importantly, people like Aquilin. We had people come forward and tell us their stories, and it just kind of led to more enthusiasm for doing something.
Hey, Dr. Battelle, I want to drill down on one particular aspect of the Affordable Care Act because it ties nicely to our question of the day. And that was this discussion centered around pre-existing conditions. Mm-hmm. Because whether you are on left or right of the aisle, it seems like it's fairly consistent that folks want to make sure that whatever ends up happening with healthcare, that pre-existing conditions are something that are covered. Do you have any perspective on that part of the conversation and how that came about?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a number of patients, patient groups, and doctors, and I'm a practicing primary care physician. We had a number of doctors who came forward and said, my patient was told they lost their health insurance because they didn't write down that they had had a history of acne.
Oh, wow.
on their application. And it was stories like that. There were people who were denied health insurance
exactly.
because they had had a pre-existing condition, and that pre-existing condition was having had a baby.
Anything.
So it was things like that led to, and by the way, that's one of the most popular, I'll touch on three things, Robert, that are extremely popular like that. Eliminating
okay.
a ban on pre-existing conditions, as you mentioned. Number two was allowing for people under the age of 26 to stay on their parents' insurance.
Yes.
Because we had so many people in school, graduate school, college, whatever, and they could not afford it. You know, imagine when you were in school. We couldn't afford I didn't have health insurance. Aquilin knows I didn't have health insurance in
right.
college.
Right.
So we now allow for kids to stay or adults to stay under the age of 26. That's extremely popular.
Right.
The third thing that's extremely popular, as it should be, is there's no there's a maximum lifetime. There's no restriction on how much care someone can get or how much they can use health care
right.
in a year or in a lifetime.
There was one of my friends who I met through business school, actually had gone to University of Texas, that
mm-hmm.
Had a brain tumor. And
right.
just imagine going through that whole process, surviving it, and then pushing that upper limit financially. It just doesn't make sense.
For your listeners, what was common was that if you used up, let's say, $100,000 in healthcare costs, which if you have a brain tumor, you can do that pretty quickly, then basically everything after that you pay out of pocket. So those are three examples that I would say, you know, I'm sure you have listeners of all political types.
We do.
I would say that this is universally popular, and it's why I think the Affordable Care Act should not be taken apart. It's why I think it is an important law to keep in place.
So right now in Democratic presidential politics, folks are articulating a number of different options. One option
mm-hmm.
is Medicare for all or a permutation on that Medicare for all who want it. You talk a lot about possibly being a public option and then clearly uh-huh. where we are right now. So from your perspective, where do you kind of stand as a subject matter expertise on where we should go from this point?
So I will say that I'm a big fan of the idea of strengthening what we have today.
Okay.
But I also think that it's I'm going to answer this in two different parts. Number one, I want to actually see some of the things that have gone away, like the individual mandate, come back.
Okay.
That means strengthening what was working in the Affordable Care Act, but doing it smarter. I know there was criticism, and so we learn from our mistakes, but doing it smarter. But then the second part to my answer, to your point, is that people think Medicare for All is one thing. I disagree. I think you have people like Senator Kamala Harris, who put out a very interesting, almost like a Medicare for All plan that allows for private insurance.
Okay.
I think that's extremely intellectually attractive, because basically, if you have a private insurance plan that's a good plan, and who defines what good is, we can talk about. But if you have a private plan that's really been good to you, you can try to keep it, but it has to kind of come under a little bit more of the cost controls or regulations. But
hey,
if you
Dr.
can't
Patel,
afford something, just like some of my friends who
Dr.
are
Patel,
working
I just wanted to let you know we're coming up on the break.
Can't afford health care, then maybe a Medicare plan to buy into, or Robert, like a public option, is a good idea.
Okay.
So that's where I think we're going. But I think the reality, if I had to be a bit of a political pragmatist, is that we don't have a Congress on either side, House or Senate, that would put this forward. So that's why I come back to strengthening.
Dr. Patel, we are up against the break. Thank you so much for calling in and providing us with your perspective. We really, really appreciate it. And the listening audience appreciates it as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Valuable information.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who may just be joining us, we have three people in studio today. Aquilin Kennedy, Levy King, and Phil Bush. And we have been talking about our question of the day, which is whether or not a person who has been conducting themselves in a responsible fashion should have financial ruin if they have some sort of catastrophic event in their life. And we started talking about the impact of pre-existing conditions and how in the world that existed before the Affordable Care Act, that was something that could actually happen. We just heard from Dr. Kavita Patel, who called in and gave us her perspective. And now at this time, we will go to the phone lines and see who we have on. Hello, you are with Kennedy for Alabama. Who is on the phone line?
This is Maurice Horsey.
Hey, Maurice, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you and your guest?
We are blessed, and we are very happy to have you call in today.
All is well here on the eastern shore of Baldwin County.
That is beautiful. Well, you heard the two headlines that we laid out, and you've also heard the question of the day. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because my entire life, we've always been covered with insurance. My parents had insurance. I've never been without health care.
Okay.
I have never been without health care, nor any of my siblings.
Okay.
So after about a 40-year career in human service work, I retired. And because I wasn't 65, I had to seek some health care insurance. And lo and behold.
Oh, really? Wow.
The Affordable Care Act was available.
Okay.
And the impact of that act on our family in 2014 was so beneficial.
Wow, what happened in 2014?
When I retired from my job, I didn't have any health care.
Okay.
So the Affordable Care Act filled that void, and it was a wonderful thing.
Great.
We were able to conduct ourselves in the same manner that we had in the previous years with full coverage. And as I neared the magic 65, where Medicare would kick in, the Affordable Care Act started, we started seeing signs of individual parties trying to dismantle it, take things away. Pre-existing conditions was of utmost importance to myself and my family, as well as to have our 26-year-old son provided with insurance at that time. So it started, as I said, as a godsend. However, as the years went on and as it just kept being picked apart, it turned almost into a nightmare.
Well, Maurice, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that perspective with us. And continue to tune in to Kennedy for Alabama.
Will do.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Now that we've spent a little bit of time talking about this, I want to shift gears for just a little bit and spend a little bit of time talking to our lead sponsor for the program this evening, Mr. Levy King. So, Levy, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing to positively impact both your business and the community.
Thank you, Robert. I am a native Mobilian, graduated here in 90 from John S. Shaw High School.
So good
School of higher
that
learning.
It is not even a high school anymore.
That is so true. So after graduation, I matriculated to the Marine Corps for 4 years and became the worldly person that I am today. After my service was up with the Marine Corps, I returned home, went to college, graduated from Fort University in Montgomery with my BA and also my master's. Following that, met my wonderful wife in 98. We married, and it has just been a blissful 21 years since then. So, but in the community itself, I think every person, let me say this first, Rob, I think every person has a responsibility to care for the communities that not only we live in, but also the communities that we don't live in, because my opinion is that each community touches and affects other communities. One of the things that I've been able to do over the last couple of years is giving back to the community via a mentorship program that is housed at Ella Grant Elementary.
Okay.
And the program was actually a foresight of the principal and the counselor, Ms. Foster and Mrs. Drakeford, the principal. And they just wanted some men to come in and really make an impact on some boys. So 6 years later, we're still there, and we're teaching these boys about character building, team building, manners, field trips, showing them experiences that they may not have had the opportunity to experience. So that is one of the things that we've done in the community. Myself and about seven men contribute and give up our time biweekly in order to make an impact on these boys. So those are some things that we're doing in the community.
Levy, you know, I want to highlight this just a little bit more. I remember, first of all, Ella Grant Elementary School is in the heart of Pritchard.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And for those of us who grew up in Pritchard or in 8 Mile where I grew up, we know that our city has had some challenges.
Yes.
And when we went out there and I was talking to Ms. Drayford, I actually asked her how much adult male influence did those boys have, and she told me none. And it really struck me, the fact that we would have an elementary school in the heart of Pritchard where the students can go to school and not see another positive male role model throughout the course of their entire day.
Yes, yes, it is. And I'll tell you this, Robert, it is even more special to me because my wife is an educator there.
Yes.
So it's more special because she shared some of these stories with me about how many of these kids, they come and they're looking for that extra direction. They're looking for that extra someone else in their lives to care for them, especially our young boys. So it's special on that level, even beyond, because these boys seeing the light go off on the boys and them realizing that someone else cares about them and putting energy, effort, and time into their lives, it is just such a wonderful feeling. And the impact that we've made via the numbers that we've received has been off the charts. So we're very proud of the impact that we're making in that community.
Well, thank you, Levy.
That's
that
awesome.
Is very, very good. We're going to go back to the phone lines here and see who our next caller is. Hello, you are on the air with Kennedy for Alabama. Who do we have on the line?
Have we lost them?
Hello.
Hello. who is with us.
Good evening, sir. This is Scott Hodenstein.
Scott Hodenstein, calling from the beautiful state of Florida.
Tampa, Florida. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And how are you doing today, Scott?
I got to tell you, it was a long day. I'm a seventh grade civics teacher. It was one of those crazy middle school days. So I'm glad I'm home and doing something a little easier than teaching middle school, which is chatting with you about healthcare.
Yeah, you know, as we talked about with our question of the day, personal responsibility is where we always start. But once you go beyond personal responsibility, we understand that catastrophic events can have an impact on you and your family. I was blessed and fortunate, as were you. You know, we're classmates from the Naval Academy, to have had that system supporting us during the early portions of our life. But I'd be interested to know from your perspective what you think about healthcare cost and some things that potentially we could do to continue to move healthcare policy forward.
Well, here's my question. How much is healthcare?
Interesting.
For me, I'm retired from the Navy, so I'm covered by TRICARE Retiree. For the whole year, for my family of four, I pay $700 a year.
Wow.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing.
Now, if I were to go and procure the same kind of insurance through my Hillsborough County School District employer, mm-hmm. it would cost me $1,000 a month.
On the low mm-hmm. end.
Wow.
Right, right.
So how much does that health care cost? And you've also talked about catastrophic events. And you know, there are acts of God, but what comes to mind is a former student of mine. We've kept in touch. She's in college now. Her name's Carly. She helped me when I ran for office.
Okay.
Carly is a type 1 diabetic. I listened to what her mom goes through and what Carly's going to have to go through. She's 19 years old right now. So this is the life she has. Honor roll student, just been accepted to a nursing program. On top of their health care that they have to pay, they just got billed, this was maybe a year ago, her family was billed $1,000 on top of a $1,500 deductible, on top of monthly premiums, on top of a plan discount.
Wow.
And this is like semi-annual or every quarter or so. Mm. How much should it cost for my 19-year-old honor roll student to stay alive?
Yeah, and that's really what we're talking about with, you know, these pre-existing conditions. And if you could see me, I'm actually doing my air quotes. You know, there's no – being a business person, there are typically private sector solutions to things where companies can make money. And this is one of the things where there simply may not be a private sector solution. And that's where you actually need to have some sort of government involvement. So, Scott, thank you so much for calling in and sharing some thoughts with us. We really appreciate it. For those of you in the listening audience, please call in to area code 251-343-0106. We are Kennedy for Alabama, and we will be back after the break.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. I actually want to thank both of our callers for calling in and sharing their thoughts. If anybody is listening right now, if you're in your car and you're on your way to the Friday night high school football games and you have a few minutes, please call in. We're at area code 251-343-0106. Again, that's 343-0106. So with leaving Aquiline, I just want to pick up on what Scott was talking about. You know, these examples of us actually opening up an insurance bill and looking at it and trying to figure out what things cost is a real issue.
Sure it is.
You know,
it's huge.
And when we start transitioning from us just having a conversation around the table to the types of things that we would actually want our elected officials to do, helping us to establish some standards to make those bills clear and mm-hmm. easy to understand is one thing that shouldn't really be contentious whether you're on the left or right of the aisle.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the things, which industry, I mean, there are very, very few, and count them probably on less than one hand, where you go in for service and you have no idea what it's going to cost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really, you know, it's astounding. And this is vital. You know, healthcare, all that we have is our health. Mm-hmm. All that we have is our health. And if we don't have that information and if we can't adequately prepare for that, what do we do?
Yes.
Right?
It's like that old quote, if you have to ask the price, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
And so someone could charge you anything for anything in healthcare and you wouldn't know what it is.
Not a thing.
Well, you know, and I akin it to where does the responsibility lie?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in my opinion, when it comes to controlling the cost for healthcare, it lies directly into the hands of our elected officials. That's what they're there for. They're there for mm-hmm. oversight. They're there to make sure that their constituents, that Americans aren't being gouged to be healthy.
Right.
Everyone wants to be healthy, but we don't want to be gouged for that. But I think so many people focus on Congress, but it also needs to be people in our local elected officials as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Who are raising the bar and shaking the bushes and going to the state level. The state level goes to the national level. That's where that true change is going to come from. But when that doesn't happen, how do we get there?
And absolutely. I mean, I think it's that and, right? You know, I think mm-hmm. it's a national, it's a local, and it's right as local all the way as your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going on in your family. You know what you may anticipate in your family at some point. It goes to planning. How do we start to – so if we have the help of our legislators, we have the help of Congress, and at home, we actually work within our own communities, within our own homes, about how do I plan effectively for the unexpected, because these things will come. You've seen it in your older, you know, family members. These things will come.
Mm-hmm.
So just planning for that is really important. And so that's one of the reasons why my mission went from a health mission to a planning, you know, trying to work with how do you work through all of that with your family and your life.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to do that with whomever you're working with.
And just to pull this back together is we're not suggesting that people don't have personal responsibility.
Right.
Oh, definitely.
What we're talking about is people doing the things they need to do in order to be healthy, investing a certain amount of their budget into healthcare insurance, but being protected in such a way that if they have a pre-existing condition or something catastrophic happens, it doesn't lead to complete future ruin.
Absolutely.
That's really what we're talking about.
Definitely.
I actually want to touch on one topic before we close for today. But what popped into my head as a local issue was the tolling of the Mobile River and Bayway. When people came together and started pushing back on the tolls, you saw unity that we have not seen on any other issue in a while. Whether you're talking about far left, far right constituencies, whether you're talking about people with a D next to their name or an R next to their name, whether you're talking about people in elected office or just people that you meet on the street, to a person, everybody was talking about how this was something that could not stand with this region.
Mm-hmm.
And if we put that same type of energy and passion and intensity into any issue like pre-existing conditions, we can actually make the entire system move. So I'm hoping that we will continue to find ways to be able to apply this, unify, and address this issue that actually impacts all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have a few minutes left. If anybody wants to call in, please call in at area code 251-343-0106. Again, that's 343-0106. So let's circle back to the first headline. We talked about what was happening there at Ladd Stadium, and quite frankly, it's just sad that you would have a young person who feels as though they need to pull the trigger in a crowd of people. What can we do? What do you guys think? How do we start to address those issues that lead to someone making that decision?
Mm-hmm. You know, I believe, first of all, when people are hopeless, when they're in a hopeless situation or they have a hopeless mindset, they have no fear. They have no fear of repercussions. They have no fear of any circumstance that they may fall into because they're only in a situation of hopelessness.
Yes.
That's a danger to me. And I tell people all the time, Robert and Aqua, that, you know, hope is not a method. You know, you can't just hope for things to become better. You've got to do something to make things better. And I think that as a community, it comes through knowledge. And people tell me all the time, well, Levy, you know, knowledge is not good enough. No, it's not. My responsibility is to share the knowledge that I have. If I take the knowledge that I have and share that with someone else and that person shares it with someone else, now we begin to see that change in our community. So when we're talking about touching these young kids' lives, we need to be present. It can't be just, we can't speak about it. We've got to physically go into these communities. We've got to put our sticks there and we've got to talk to these young boys about, hey, life is valuable and we need to give them some love. Of hope. That is just the way I feel about it. I've always felt passionate about that. But we need more people to feel the same type of passion as well.
Yeah, and I think that you hit the nail on the head when you started talking about contact and proximity. And this is another area where I think all of us have the opportunity to do a little better job by going to communities that we may not go to on a normal everyday basis. And it's through that contact that we're actually able to start to develop relationships with young people. And that is the thing that will allow them to reach out when they're in times of distress.
Definitely.
You know, I saw something a few weeks ago that took me back to growing up. When I played youth sports, I played at Indian Springs right there off High Point Boulevard. And recently I saw some young people that were out with buckets basically asking for contributions so that they could pay their fee in order to participate in youth sports. Anytime we can give these young people something organized to do with some supervision, then we will definitely start to put ourselves in the position to be able to do something better.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Aqualyn, what were your thoughts?
Well, really, just it's really important for them to make sure that they are able to reach out and do these things. I just wanted to make sure that we actually are kind of highlighting some of the things that we're talking about. We'd love to hear more about what you think is really important in terms of reaching out to our youth and how we leverage them.
And I think it starts also with, you know, some people have built-in relationships in the community as well. I think that we can go and just tap into those relationships that are already there, where these boys already have those innate opportunities to communicate back and forth with people in the communities. And we can just go and latch on to them as well and make a difference.
Absolutely. Sounds mentoring good. And things of that nature. Absolutely.
Well, thank you guys so much to joining us for our inaugural episode of Kennedy for Alabama. If you want to get information on future shows, you can stay connected with us on social media at kennedyforalabama.com. Thank you guys so much, and we will look forward to talking to you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.